killing themselves and everything, but we got something to come in and be thankful for. We got something to just praise God about. Amen. He is in our lives. He is directing our lives. He's walking with us. He's doing mighty things. Hallelujah. You can be happy today just being thankful. Praise God. Hallelujah. Genesis 6, beginning with verse 13. Verse 13, it says, "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set it in the side thereof, and with lower second and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and even in everything that is in the earth shall die." Turn to Matthew 24. Verse 37. It says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, there were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Then turn down to Hebrews 11, and verse 7. "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." And one more. 1 Peter 3, beginning with verse 20. 1 Peter 3, beginning with verse 20, it says, "Which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." I want to speak this morning about God's call today precedes his judgment. Amen. You may be seated. God's call today precedes his judgment. The mercy of God balances his justice. Amen. God is a judgment God. Amen. He does not fool around with sin. But God's mercy balances his justice. He sends a messenger of warning before sending his judgment. Amen. God is merciful to you today. Amen. Whatever you may find your life in any situation that is not pleasing to God, God is sending you a message today to warn you that judgment is coming. Get your life right. God wants to have relationship with you today. Amen. His mercy precedes his judgment. Amen. Genesis 6 and verse 8, it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God's wrath was burning. God's wrath was hot against the people because of the sin and the mess that was going on in the land. But God was looking around and he noticed there was a man that found favor with God. There was a man that was keeping his heart right before Almighty God. He had a hunger. He had a desire to do what was right in the eyes of God. Right. Amen. This world is lacking in that desire today. Right. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. There are a few, though, that God is looking for today that will say, I will stand for truth and righteousness in this darkened hour. There's no better time than to shine your light of truth than the hour that we're living in right now. On the treadmill toward judgment, written by Gary D. Erickson, it says, it's difficult to comprehend the significance of our times. When we analyze contemporary conditions against history, so many things have changed exponentially. And yet we do not find things that unordinary. Consider these changes. For thousands of years, humankind never exceeded the speed of a horse, about 40 to 45 miles per hour. Now, not only do we speed down the interstate in our automobiles, but astronauts travel 17,000 miles per hour in space shuttles, going places that we never dreamed we would go. They're working on Mars. For thousands of years, weapons of war were limited to a few war machines that could throw things, break down walls, and so forth. Most battles were hand-to-hand combat. One man could kill only one man at a time. But today, one nuclear blast can kill millions in a moment, instantly. Only a few years ago, homosexuality was considered an anomaly and looked upon as grossly perverted. But today it is celebrated by many as something to be admired. Even the church, so-called church today, is admiring that lifestyle and is trying to reason it out in the scripture. The proliferation of internet pornography and other media venues has caused our society to lose the ability to blush. The epidemic of illegal drug use makes the days of prohibition seem surreal. There was only one divorce in 30 at the turn of the century. And now it's one in two. Some are even predicting that marriage is becoming obsolete. I was just talking to a guy at work, and you know, I was telling him, I said, I'm going to celebrate our 27th anniversary. And he's, me too. He says, that's amazing in this day and age. That's an accomplishment to have been married for a long time. Amen. We're living in a world where it's just like it's a cycle. The explosion of computer technology is amazing. We find our daily lives changed by notebook computers, iPads, iPods, iPhones, GPS. Now many are working from home on those devices. Amen. Internet telecommunications and many other high-tech breakthroughs. Doctors are transplanting hearts, livers, and other organs, even face transplants. New drugs are prolonging life for many, yet new diseases are cropping up that defy medication. Innovative technology has caused traditional careers to evaporate. Employees must not plan to change their occupation two or three times in a lifetime. No generation has seen so much rapid change. Even those who do not believe in God or the Bible should wonder where we are going. Where is it all going? What's the end of it all? It's as if we are running on a cosmic treadmill, and it is getting faster and faster and faster. These things should warn us that we are living in climactic times. But thanks to God, God is warning us. Judgment is coming. Oh, hallelujah. We are living in the greatest hour of the church. Amen. That the warning sounds are coming from God. That judgment is coming. But thanks be to God that He allows us, amen, the church of the living God, to be judged right here in the church. Amen. Hallelujah. Noah lived about 2000 BC, the 10th generation in descendants from Adam and Eve. Civilization had slid into an immoral condition of selfishness, disrespect, cruelty, and debauchery. Sounds like the day we're living in. Amen. The earth was corrupt before God. Genesis 6 and 11. It says the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. The extreme corruption and violence brought on God's flood, the flood from God to destroy the sin, the debauchery, all of those things. Amen. It was his judgment. The word violence in Genesis 6:11 is translated from the Hebrew word hamas and means willfully destructive acts intended to damage others. The writer did not describe the depravity of these people in specific detail, but he recounted other biblical times of human degradation, revealing a cycle of sadistic cruelty, murder, robbery, vices such as drunkenness probably prevailed in this degenerate society. My goodness, we are living in the end time. Amen. Genesis 6, beginning with verse 5, it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both men and beast and creeping thing and fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Hallelujah. He made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. wickedness and filth had flooded the earth. So God determined to destroy with a massive flood of his own making. He sent warning through Noah, whose perfectness in the midst of corruption had caught the eye of God. The Lord instructed Noah to build a wooden ark large enough and sturdy enough to preserve his family, anyone who would repent of their wickedness, and every known animal species would be saved. Amen. There's a massive structure that has been built in Kentucky. If you've ever had the opportunity to go down and visit the Ark exhibit, it's an amazing structure that this family could have built in that time. Amen. If you ever get the opportunity, it's such a wonderful sight, and it just brings just such truth to the Word of God when you see it, how that it would have been possible. But Noah found grace. Aren't you glad, amen, that you are here today, amen, because of the grace of God, amen. Romans 9 and 15 through 16, it says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. It's for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation, sparkling like cut diamond in a block of velvet. Noah's righteousness came shone amid the wickedness and drew the eyes of God. Amen. The darker our world, the brighter God's people shine for him. Amen. You are a light that is shining, that is sparkling to this dark world right now. As Noah's generation saw the light of God's righteousness through Noah, our generation also will see God's righteousness in us. Amen. Hallelujah. You have a light. You need to shine today. Amen. Do not hide what the Holy Ghost has put within you. Amen. You're shining to the dark world. Amen. They are lost. They are without hope. You are their hope. Matthew 5 and verse 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. It's all right, Brother Pritt, to be a reverend. Amen. Hallelujah. Let them see your good works, because it's glorifying not you. It's only because of the grace of God that you are who you are and that you do what you do. Amen. It's only by the mercy of God that he's allowed us to enter into his presence. Amen. And to enter into his hope. Amen. We are the light of the world. Amen. If we don't shine the light, who will? Amen. We are by standing for righteousness, by coming when it seems like nobody else is, and just coming and living for God and walking with God, you're shining your light to somebody. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's needing hope. Somebody's needing to see the grace of God, because judgment is coming. And you're their hope. Amen. God has called you to righteousness. Amen. Righteousness attracts the attention of God. Amen. You sitting here today is pleasing to God. Amen. The world don't understand why you spend so much time coming to church, why you spend so much time not being like everybody else. They don't understand. But you have the grace and mercy of God flowing in your life, and it's just like no big deal to you. Sometimes we get a little careless in it. And we don't realize that it's by the grace of God that I'm here today. It's by the power and mercy of God that He has allowed me another time to be in His presence. Hebrews 1 and 9 says, "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with oil of gladness above thy fellows." God loves sinners, but abhors their sin. And He wants them to repent. God is looking for, He created a way. God loves righteousness because they trust His grace and strive to please Him. Amen. God has made a way of escape. You don't have to be separated from Him anymore because of the mercy of God. Amen. He has provided something for us. God provides everyone, the opportunity to find His grace, which can lead them to repentance. Hallelujah. Repentance is a change. It's a new direction. Amen. It's stopping what you've been doing and now beginning to do what you know you need to do. Amen. It's a change in your lifestyle. It's not continuing in a lifestyle. Amen. It's not continuing in the things that displease God. This is the whole purpose of God's plan, was to reconnect man to God. Because the only thing that separated that was disobedience. Obedience reconnects. Disobedience disconnects. Amen. 2 Peter 3 and 9. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Amen. That means I am going to change when I come to repentance. Having the knowledge of repentance doesn't do anything. Having the knowledge of God doesn't do anything. It's only when I come to repentance and I change that does something before God. When I stop being disobedient. Amen. Having that knowledge doesn't change me. Having that mindset that I need to change and I believe in the change, but not changing does you no good. It's only when you change and you obey that God's grace is extended to you and His mercy. Amen. The darker our world, the brighter God's people shine. We're living in that dark time right now. Amen. We're living in that darkness. God called Noah to build him an ark. He called him to build. God has called you to build some things. God gave Noah specific instructions for building the ark. He constructed it of gopher wood, 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet tall, and he waterproofed it with pitch. Three decks tripled the space. A single door in the side allowed entrance, and a window at the top provided ventilation. Even the shipbuilders, this colossal structure would have been an enormous undertaking. Yet Noah built a giant seaworthy vessel with no prior experience. His work crew included his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Amazing feat. Amen. But it shows of the mercy of God, what He puts in your hands to do. Amen. You think I could never accomplish. You have no thought of what God has planned for you. Amen. But God, if you surrender to Him, can allow you to do great things. Exceedingly, abundantly great things. Certainly God could have saved Noah and his family by some means other than an ark. But he used this method to provide a way for Noah to express his faith. He could have just said, Noah, I'm gonna flood the earth and everybody's gonna die. Noah could have said, I believe it. I believe God and I accept you for all you're doing for me right now. And God could have said, that's enough. That's plenty. That's all I needed. That's all I needed to hear, Noah. It was just those words. But no, God wanted faith to come from Noah. God wanted action to come out of Noah's mind, not only out of his mind, but out of his being. He wanted to see action take place. Build me something that will save you and your family. Brother Pritt? Yes. Right. Right. But all through the history of the Bible that we have, the Old Testament, the stories, of faith, of God moving among his people, it was because God was dissatisfied with things in their lives. And because they disobeyed the word of God, when they went out and took sheep that they weren't supposed to take and those things like that, that God was upset and his wrath, his judgment was going to come unless things were changed. So why on earth would God, through all of that time and through all of that history and through all of those things, in the time of grace, not come down, amen, when he created himself as a supreme sacrifice so that the curse that was brought upon by that one man's disobedience can be changed and forever wiped away? Why would not God require any more of us, any more faith by us in changing our way of disobedience? From mere just belief that he did what he did. Sure, he did what he did. I have no problem with that. But that was so that I could do what I need to do through my obedience. If Noah had never went out and got the saw out and started sawing down trees and getting the hammer and the whatever they use for nails to put that ark together, amen, he would have died in the flood. Just like the rest of the disobedient ones. Amen. His faith that God was going to send the flood would not have saved him. It was the faith of him, what he did, that saved him. It was the action that he took. It was the putting forth the time, the effort to do the things that God required. God had very specific instructions in that building process. And it was not to be. Every time God offered a destruction, he gave specific instructions. Don't do this, or this is going to happen. And God always gave you an opportunity to get it right before that destruction came. He always sent the man of God to you. Said, what's that I hear in the background? Giving man an opportunity to confess and to change and to get their hearts right before the judgment came. Amen. God's word does not change. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. God is still requiring, amen, right actions. Amen. Right living. Walking with Him. Obedience is what it boils down to. Amen. Hallelujah. James 2:20-22 says, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect?" Amen. Works, when he had offered Isaac. Amen. God provides his children, but he expects them to manifest their faith in him by obeying his instructions. God's got something for us to do. Amen. We've got an ark to build. Amen. We've got a place to build, amen, in our bodies. Amen. It's called a tabernacle. Amen. We got to build it up, and we got to keep it clean, and we've got to keep it pure, and we've got to keep it holy, so that the presence of God can dwell there. God cannot go where disobedience is. That's why he came as a man, a sinless man. He was. He exhibited all of the humanness that there was in Adam. The spirit of human. He was a perfect man. Adam was created a perfect man. Christ came as a perfect man without sin to redeem and make access to the mercy of God, so that we can escape the judgment of what is to come from our disobedience. Because God knew that we couldn't do that on our own. He knew that in our own humanness, it was impossible to please God. But it was only through the righteousness of Jesus Christ that we could have that mercy and that grace to be perfected. Amen. God's mercy is before us today. Amen. He is shining his glory to you today, so that you can be saved from this evil and perverse generation. Amen. You have the mercy of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Works, when he had offered Isaac. Amen. God did it. God made a way. Obedience is the real test of faith and the portal of God's blessing. Genesis 6:22 says, "This did Noah according to all that God had commanded him. So did he." God is expecting us to do those things. Amen. When the word of God is spoken to you, he's expecting you not to just push it aside and say, "That's not for me. I don't have to obey those things," because of the faith and the mercy of God. What he did for me on the cross, that's all I have to do, is just believe that it was for me and accept it into my life. Do you know what happens when you accept God as your Savior? Amen. You accept God accepting you as a rotten sinner. You don't have to change. You don't have to do anything different. You put conditions on God. God, you have to. You have to allow me to be who I am because of what you did. And I accept that. Nowhere in the Word of God, nowhere did God ever accept what they were doing wrong to him. Judgment always followed when they disobeyed, when they did not follow the ways of God. And when they would not change, God's judgment came and he judged. So What makes you think that you're going to walk away from the disobedience of God and not be judged? God's judgment is coming. And it's for a one that does not know him and will not obey him and follow his ways. Isaiah 1:19-20. It says, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Amen. One day, on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached the saving gospel to the crowd gathered in Jerusalem. His fervency and anointing convicted the crowd and their need of God. They cried out to Peter and the rest of the apostles for the remedy. What can fix it? For their condemned condition. Peter said, you know it, in Acts 2:38, it says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This clear and very straightforward message of salvation has not changed. Amen. God is still expecting us to do something and obey. 2 Peter 2:4-6. It says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them in chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with the overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that are or that after should live ungodly. Obedience is the real test of faith and the portal of God's blessing. When you begin to walk in the obedience of God and you obey his word, amen, the blessings of God flow in your life. Amen. The power of God flows in your life. The presence of the Lord is in your life. Jesus set that example by his own obedience and became the way of escape from our lost condition. Amen. He has made a way. He himself came to make a way. Romans 15:19 says, for as by one man's sin, man's disobedience, many are made right sinners, but so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Being obedient to what God instructed his disciples to preach will save us. Amen. God handed them a blueprint. He said, here, this is what will save you. Follow these instructions. Noah saved his family. Noah exemplified a good husband and father. He transmitted his faith and calling to his family together. They obeyed God by building an ark. Through their obedience and building the ark, they were participating in God's planned vehicle for their salvation. The whole purpose of God coming to earth as a sinless man was to give us a way not to have sin and opening the door for communication with God and having God's presence in us, near us. God cannot come where sin is. Amen. He is holy. He is righteous. This was the plan of all the ages. God never allowed any of his people to continue in sin. Peter's plan, given to him by God, gets us on the ark and lifts us to our saving. Amen. God has given us all a plan. And it's up to you. Will you receive what precedes his judgment? God's plan of salvation. Get on the ark today. Amen. Stay in the ark. Be obedient to God. Walk in his spirit. Walk in the power. Let his spirit be in you. Amen. If you're living in sin today, amen, God is not in you. And judgment is coming. You have an opportunity to reverse that today. God's mercy is here today. His mercy is here saying, come unto me, all ye that are heavy and laden with sin and burdens with life, and I will give you rest. Come on, God. God is calling us today, amen, to escape the judgment that is to come. Praise God. I went over 5 minutes, so work that out in the next service. So God bless you. Take a few moments. Refresh.